Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? On Facebook this week, a clergy colleague in another part of the Episcopal Church reposted a top 10 list. It's titled, Reasons I Never Go to Mass. But the words go to Mass are crossed out. The word shower replaces it. So it's the top 10 reasons I never shower. Now, many of these are funny, and I'll give you my three favorites. So, number one, the reason I don't shower is I was forced to shower as a child. Number two, I used to shower, but it got boring, so I stopped. And finally, I work hard all week and am too tired to take a shower on the weekend. Now, this reminds me a little bit of what I hear at home. But Dad, do I have to floss my teeth? Do I have to take a shower? For many, church is a have-to. And we line up our have-tos and aim at the bare minimum, just trying to get by. Or we resist them entirely, doing nothing that isn't our idea in the first place. But Jesus reconciled us to God to make us stewards of his kingdom for the world. So what is it that God expects from me? Now, the problem, of course, resides in our capacities as human beings. In order to know and do what God expects of us, we first have to create space for this knowing and doing. The problem? There is a lot of life that, if left unchecked, fills up every spare inch of us. The prophet Amos talks about those who trample the needy and bring ruin to the poor of the land. They buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the sweepings of the wheat. Both in the Old Testament book Leviticus and in Deuteronomy, God instructs landowners to leave some of their produce for the poor and the foreigner. They should not harvest all the way to the edges of the field. They should not go over the field to make sure they got everything. They were to leave the leftover for whomever was willing to come get it. But the rich landowners in the northern kingdom of Israel won't. Their love of money fills up every spare inch of them. Paul in Colossians talks about how the Gentiles were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. Those estranged from God spent all of their energy pursuing their own gain. Energy is like money. If we let it happen, we will use up all our energy on whatever is in front of us. And when we've exhausted it too quickly, we'll sit in front of a phone for the rest of the time we're awake, dully scrolling or gaming our way to oblivion. Our love of distraction fills up every spare inch of us. Finally, in Luke, we find Mary and Martha. Martha gets busy in the kitchen trying to fulfill her responsibilities as the host. But she grows bitter when she realizes that Martha is sitting at Jesus' feet. Not only was she not helping, she also presumed to sit in the room with the men. It wasn't a woman's place. When Martha finally complains, Jesus says lovingly, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." Martha was so focused on her responsibility as a host that she neglected her other responsibility, the more important responsibility of being Jesus' disciple. Her frustration at her lack of time fills up every spare inch of her. One way or another, we make money everything, or we use up all our energy, or we use up all our time, not leaving a bit left over. What does God expect from us? If we live with no margin, we will never know. And Amos warns us, as he warned Israel, that the steward who refuses their duties will not be allowed to keep them for long. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus understands. The book of Hebrews says that he sympathizes with our weaknesses. Colossians today reminds us of the blood of his cross shed for those who were once estranged from God and each other and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. Christ was afflicted for his body in order to send it as his evangelist and steward to the world. Jesus understands our weaknesses. He gets our struggles. He knows our pain and suffering. And yet, in spite of that, he was God's true steward on the earth. In fact, we might say, thinking of Colossians, that Jesus was God, stewarding his creation in and as a human being. Paul writes, "He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." Now, I didn't check, but I suspect that was one of Paul's very long sentences without any breaks. Paul waxed poetic about Jesus, the one who holds all things in being, and became a human being for each one of us. And what was something that the incarnate Son of God did throughout his ministry? He left margins in his life. He stole away for times of prayer. He found time to be alone. What does God want from us? I think for us in this incredibly busy world, he wants us to leave some space. He wants us to leave some space in our money for the poor. Our income is like the field God has given us to steward. Stewards remember that what they steward is not theirs. It belongs to another. That is why God asked the Israelites to tithe or give 10% of their produce to support the worship of God every year. That is why God asked the Israelites to leave the edges of their fields unharvested for the poor. And you know the funny thing when we put space in our money? All of a sudden, we relax. Our money feels more like a place of joy than a noose around our necks. But God also wants us to leave some energy for growth. Instead of spending it all in a rush or grounding it all out in a screen, God invites us to grow in our relationship with him. Colossians reminds us that the goal of our Christian life is to become mature in Christ. Jesus wishes to present us holy and blameless and irreproachable before God the Father. But that won't happen without us. It takes us leaving some energy for this growth, continuing, as Paul says, securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. You know the funny thing when we do this? When we invest energy in God, we find more given back in return. Our energy is multiplied. Finally, God desires that we leave some space in our time to sit at Jesus' feet. Make no mistake, Martha was doing good work. It was part of her legitimate responsibility to host the people in her home. Time is like money, though. If not approached intentionally, it slips through our fingers. As Jesus told Martha, there is need of only one thing. And do you know the funny thing? When we leave some space in our time, just like when we budget our money or our energy, when we budget our time, we find it multiplied. When we leave time to sit at Jesus' feet, we find, against all odds, that we have all the time that we need. So I invite us to consider this week, where do we need to budget Jesus into our lives? Is it our money? Is it our energy? Is it our time? Take some time this week to make an appointment with Jesus. Budgeting time with him to think and pray and ask and give thanks. Because when we do so, we find ourselves, as the psalmist did, like green olive trees in the house of God. Church is not a have to, it's a get to. Like I tell my kids, they don't have to floss their teeth, they don't have to take a shower. They get to, and we let them suffer the consequences when they don't. When we budget time for Jesus in and outside of worship, we find a deep sense of God's goodness. We delight in communion with Jesus. We grow into Christian maturity, which is the fullness of joy. We learn to know in ourselves what Jesus meant when he said that Mary had chosen the better part, the part that would not be taken away from her. Jesus reconciles us to God to make us stewards of his kingdom for the world, which includes our money, energy, and time. So sometime today, take out your calendar and budget some time to be with Jesus this week. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.